teaching is based today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. I invite you to turn there if you haven't already in the Bible, the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. So it's chapter 6, starting at verse 9. And let's just pray as we open up his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you've spoken to us. I want to thank you for your son Jesus, who spoke these words and taught us how to pray. And I pray that you'd help us today, each one of us. Each one of us has something to learn today about how to lift our requests to you and to see you answer. So we ask you for your help in that. We pray that your spirit would work in us right now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So if you're here today on New Year's Day, I know that you're somebody who wants to know God. You're somebody who wants to lean into your relationship with God and to see God answer your prayers. And so I don't have to convince you to be interested in the Lord's Prayer today. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer today. This is how Jesus teaches us to pray. The disciples asked him, to teach us to pray. And this is how he answered. And at the start of a new year, I like to encourage the church in our prayer life so that we can just reset our hearts at the beginning of the year on what's really important and reset our hearts on the Lord. And let's be people of prayer this year. And let's be people who see God answer our prayers this year. Okay, here's the text. Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 15, I'll read it and then we'll hear from the Lord. Therefore, you should pray like this, Jesus said. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. This is God's word. The first thing I want to talk about today is the heart of prayer. The heart that comes. What does a heart look like that is a heart of prayer? A prayerful heart. And what I want to show you right now in the Lord's Prayer is that we need to have a shift in our pronouns. The heart of prayer has a shift in our pronouns. And don't worry, I'm not going to say what you think I might say about the way that the culture is shifting pronouns. But our culture today is all about individualism, okay? The pronouns of our culture today are I, me, and my. Okay, so it's all about my needs. It's about my path, my career, my body, my money, my rights, my inner light, my self-expression, my truth, okay? So it's no surprise that a lot of times when we pray, the focus is all on me, right? And so we go to the Lord in prayer and we say, Lord, help me. Lord, heal me. Lord, give me. Lord, fix me. I want this. I, me, my. Now, of course, God does care about individuals. God saves individuals. He saves you as an individual. You're not a Christian because your mom was a Christian or your grandma is a Christian, okay? You have to trust in Christ as you, okay? And not a sparrow falls that God doesn't see it and God doesn't care. Jesus says that. God cares about you and your individual needs and everything that you face, the big things and the little things. God cares about you as a person. However, I want you to notice the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer, okay? And you can divide the Lord's Prayer into two sections, and there are six statements, six prayers. There are three in the first section and three in the second section. So here's the first section. Notice the pronouns in these prayers. Your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So what are the pronouns in that section? Your, you, you know? The pronoun that is the focus of the heart of prayer is you. It's directed towards God. You see what I'm saying? So it's a heart that's looking at God as you and is thinking about what he wants. And then look at the second half. There are three statements of prayer in the second half, you know, depending on how you divide it, but this is how I organize it. Okay, here's the first one. Give us today our daily bread. That's the first one. Here's the second prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And here's the third one. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So what are the pronouns in the second half? Us, we, our, you know? So the first half of the prayer is about you directed towards God, and the second half of the prayer is about us, okay? The first half focuses on God, the second and what God wants, God's will, you know, God's name, God's glory, God's kingdom, what God wants to do in the world. The second half focuses on us, so it's not just about me, but it's me with God's people. It's about our needs, how God is going to answer our needs. So the heart of prayer involves a shift in your focus from me to you and to us, okay? It's a shift from thinking about what I need, what my life, my career, my path, my inner light, you know, my peace of my heart. Not that God doesn't care about that stuff, okay? But when Jesus says, this is how you should pray, look at the shift that he's having us make. It's now, God, what do you want to do in the world? God, what is your desire for how things play out in the world? What is your plan? What are your goals? What is your heart, God? I pray for your heart. I pray for your work in the world. I want you to do what you want to do. And then, Lord, will you meet our needs? Because I'm not just myself all alone. I'm with God's people who he is saving and gathered together into his body, right? So I'm not just an individual. I'm an individual with other individuals, linked arms together, worshiping God together as his people. God, will you meet our needs, mine and my neighbors, mine and my brother in Christ and my sister in Christ, my family, my church family especially? Will you meet our needs? So it's a shift from me to you and to us, for a desire for God's work in the world and God's work in the community of his people, me with other people. Okay, and here's the other thing I want to show you about the heart of prayer is there's a certain view of God, an understanding of who God is in the heart of prayer, if you were going to have a heart of prayer, and it's in that first statement. This is how Jesus says we need to address God. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. This is how we need to think about God. So in our culture, because we're so individualistic, we're not interested in prayer, really. We're interested in spirituality, okay? And so what the culture tells us to do is to center your mind and get by yourself and practice mindfulness, okay? Get by yourself and center your thoughts and think about who you are and think about your plans and learn to some discipline and make some plans. Try to think about what you're going to do, how you're going to respond to different things. Okay, find your inner strength, your inner energy, or the energy in the world somehow, and tap into that. And so you can be a stronger person, a better person. You can meet your goals. You see what I'm saying? It's that kind of spirituality. It's about self-improvement, and it's about you getting what you want, okay, through mindfulness. And depending on how you define mindfulness, it might mean something a little different, but you following what I'm saying? Are you tracking what I'm saying? Now, prayer is something different from mindfulness, okay? Because prayer isn't just about you. It's about your relationship with the God of the universe, You hear what I'm saying? It's about your relationship with God and how do you relate to God. He's your father and you're his child. Isn't that beautiful? When I'm praying, it's not just about getting my mind centered. It's about relating to the God of the universe as my father. Now, there was a lady I was talking to who was part of our congregation, and actually I forget which lady it was, but I remember this lady who shared with me a couple years ago. She had lost a parent. A parent had died, and I think she had lost the other parent first, so maybe like she had lost her father, and now she lost her mother. And she said, there's just something hard about not having a parent, that you sort of feel vulnerable, right? That you feel kind of out there, that you don't have this covering over you, this sort of sense of stability and sense of protection, and that there's somebody over me now, and now I'm the one that's on top. and it feels vulnerable, it feels you just feel really out there. Now here's the beautiful thing. Do you know who your father is? God is your father. You know, you might not have a father anymore, but God is your father. Okay? God loves you. And God loves to give good gifts to his children. And so when you go to prayer, when you go to your knees, you come to God and you relate to God as your father, and he's a perfect father. He's a good father. We don't sing this song a lot, but I love the song. It's like, he's a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. Good, 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 good father. He's a good father. He always does what's right. He always does what's good. And some of you, you know, like some of us, we still have parents. And I hate to break it to you. Your mom ain't perfect. I mean, she's really great. But she's not perfect. Do you know who is perfect? God is perfect. And so everything that he does is right. Everything that he does is perfect. And so we can go to him as our father, and that's how we relate to him, that he's our father, but he's the father in heaven. He's the one who made the universe. He's the one that's before us. He's the one that's beyond us. He's around us. He's given us the life that we have. He has the plan of eternity that he is working out according to his perfect will, and we can rest in that. He's our father, and he's our father in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? He's a good father. He's our father in heaven. And then look what it says about it. It says, our father in heaven. That's, once again, that's a punch in our mindset of being just me. It's not just my father. He's our father because he's put me here on the earth with other people in a community with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we approach God together. And when I come to God, I'm not just concerned about me, I'm concerned about us, okay? So I come to God and I ask him for his work in my life, yeah, but in our life. He's going to give us good things together, you know? So this is the heart of prayer, is praying to, it's a relationship. The heart of prayer is a relationship. It's praying to our Father who is in heaven, okay? So we need to shift our minds and how we see ourselves and how we see God and how we see how we relate to other people, and we come to God in prayer that way. We pray to our Father in heaven. And then, like I told you, we divide this prayer into two sections. And so the first section has to do with praying for God's will, and the second section has to do with asking God to meet our needs. And so I want to just talk about these two sections of the prayer. First, we pray for God's will. The first statement, or the first prayer request in this prayer is, I pray that, it says, Jesus tells us to pray that God's name would be honored. May your name be honored as holy. So you're asking God, you're saying, may your reputation be great. You know, may in your heart, in my heart, may your name be recognized as a holy name. May I recognize that you are the King of the universe, that you are God, that you are holy, that you are true, that you are a merciful and compassionate God. Like, may I, in my heart, know who you are as you really are and submit to that, you know, in my heart, and then also in my family, in my church, in my workplace, in my town. May the town of Canterbury honor your name, Lord. Can we pray that this year in 2023? May the town of Plainfield honor God as God. May Willimantic honor God as God this year. May Lisbon honor God as God. May Canterbury bow before him and recognize that God is God this year, okay? And may God's name be honored in the world, okay? So we're praying that God's name would be honored. Then the second prayer is your kingdom would come, okay? That's what Jesus was all about, was announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. And when we say kingdom, we mean that God is a king and that he is bringing his rule into the world. He's taking over our planet because we've rebelled against him and he's let us go our own way. But then he comes in, he sends his son, and as people believe in Jesus, as they submit to God's rule in the world, God's kingdom expands. God's kingdom grows in the world. That's what God is doing. Now, someday Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to take it by force. Everybody who won't submit, he's going to take over. He's going to march in. He's going to ride in on the horse, right? With the sword coming out of his mouth, it's just going to be boom, done. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. But right now, in the meantime, we're going to pray that God's kingdom would grow as people submit to him as the king, okay? And then the third statement, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in heaven, everybody obeys God, you know? The angels honor him. The saints that have gone before us honor him. But we're asking that even now, people would come to faith in Christ, that God's will would be done here, that believers in Christ would grow in their faith, they would bear the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that we would grow in all of these things, okay? And that the church would be unified under Jesus as our head, that we'd all fit together, and each one of us would be doing his part, and our part, as Jesus directs us so that we're serving each other and serving him the way that we ought to be doing, you know? So that's God's will in the world. And also, like, his will goes beyond just our community. It goes into the world, you know, that there would be justice in the world, that there would be peace on earth. God wants that, you know? The angel says, I bring you good tidings of good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. You know, so he wants it for everybody, that there be peace on earth, okay, and that God would be worshipped. That's God's will. So we can pray for that God's will would be done in the world. So this is what Jesus taught us about prayer, is he taught us before we ask God to meet our needs, he wants us to ask him to meet our needs. But before we do that, we pray that God's will would be done in the world, starting with me, right? So even before I ask him to give me stuff, God wants me to ask him to give me stuff. God, please give me stuff. It's okay to pray that. God wants us to do that. We're getting there. But before we do that, we need to be people who want God to do what he wants to do in the world. And we want to be part of that, right? I want to be part of what he wants to do. Do you want to be part of what he wants to do? Or you just want him to get on board with your agenda? Ooh. We need to get on board with God's agenda before we ask him to start giving us stuff, right? We need to get on board with what he wants to do. All right, so that's the first thing, is getting on board with God's will. And then we ask him to meet our needs, okay? So after praying for God's will, the Lord Jesus taught us to ask God for what we need, to ask God for stuff. And that's a good definition of prayer, asking God for stuff. We need to ask God for stuff, okay? In the first statement, the first prayer here is, give us today our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God, will you give me what I need? We're asking God for his provision to meet our everyday needs, the needs that we have all the time. You know, food and shelter and dependable transportation, for clothes, for a job, you know, for heating oil, for your health and your strength to do what you got to do today. Just asking God for your daily needs. Now, it's not wrong to ask God for bigger things, you know. Maybe you're asking him for guidance in a decision you're making, It's not wrong to ask for that. It's not wrong to ask God to heal a relationship or to start a new relationship or to give you strength to handle a relationship, some of these big things that we deal with. It's not wrong to ask for him. But God wants us to depend on him for all of our basic needs, all the things that we need today. Okay, so today we ask him for what we need today. Give us today our daily bread. Today, Lord, will you give us what we need today? Tomorrow, will you give me what I need tomorrow? That's the kind of prayer that the Lord is calling us to pray, that we depend on God as our Father just to meet our needs today. He's our dad. We're his children. Lord, give me what I need today. I trust you to give me what I need, to help me handle what I need to handle. And then tomorrow we'll ask you again, okay? And then the second prayer in this second section says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." So you notice at the end of the prayer, Jesus like makes a comment on that part of the prayer, because we're praying for God's forgiveness, and then he says, "If you've forgiven others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you haven't, but if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses." So this is a prayer for forgiveness. So you might remember Don Henley, the lead singer for the Eagles. Like, that's the music that I liked when I was growing up. It was not cool then. When I was growing up, it was old already. But you might remember this. He wrote this song, "I'm trying to get back to the heart of the matter." What's the heart of the matter? Forgiveness, forgiveness. So he's like, he's writing this song to somebody that he's hurt. Like, he's treated a woman badly. This is what the song is about. But he's like, "I'm trying to get back to the heart of the matter. Forgiveness, forgiveness, even if you don't love me anymore." You know? Because Don Henley knows that people need forgiveness. All right? So that's something that I just want to say, that's a true thing. The heart of the matter is forgiveness. This is what we really need. He is exactly right that the heart of the matter is forgiveness. It's what you need. It's what I need. Forgiveness is what the world needs. And we need forgiveness from the people that we've hurt. We need to extend forgiveness to the people that have hurt us, all right? But even more than that, we need forgiveness from God because we have not loved God with our whole hearts, okay? So the amazing thing is God still loves us. You know, the song says, "Even though you don't love me anymore," well, God still does love you, okay? But we know that the heart of the matter is forgiveness, and we need to understand it and receive the forgiveness of God. So this is a basic daily prayer, is that we ask God to forgive us our sins when we've sinned. Because now, God has granted you forgiveness in general. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you're forgiven for all your sins, past, present, and future. But part of your relationship with God is when you recognize that you haven't loved God with your whole heart in something, that you confess it to him and you receive his forgiveness from him. And it's like the daily forgiveness. It's the kind of forgiveness that's in a relationship with somebody. like you might have with your parents or your children or your spouse. You know, like there's to maintain, you know, the oil that lubricates that engine of that relationship is forgiveness. That's how it works. You need to ask for it and you need to receive it, and we do it with God. It's the heart of the matter. Jesus knows that we need it, and he tells us to ask for it. Okay, and he makes this Jesus makes this comment at the end. He says, "If you forgive others, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive other people, he won't forgive you." And that sounds theologically strange to us, you know, because is he trying to say that we're earning God's forgiveness? Okay, God, I have forgiven other people, so I deserve to be forgiven by you. That's not what Jesus is getting at. It sort of sounds like it. The idea is, if we're really trusting in God, if we've really received the grace of heart, of the grace of God, then we're going to be people who offer forgiveness to other people, okay? If we're not offering forgiveness to other people, it shows that we don't really get it. It shows that we really haven't received his grace, that we don't really understand. So we need to be people who have received the grace of God, who have received the forgiveness of God, and our hearts are changed so that we're willing to offer forgiveness to other people. And so as when we pray to God, asking for his forgiveness, we also have our eyes out on the people that have hurt us, and we're offering forgiveness to them on our knees first in prayer, right? And asking for their forgiveness, you know? That's the kind of people we need to be. We become, because if God's all about forgiveness and you've been forgiven by him, here's what you become. You become God's agent of forgiveness in the world. Is that how you think about yourself? Special agent of forgiveness. Like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he's like, you're a minister of reconciliation. That's who you are. You go out into the world and you're in disguise. You're wearing this long trench coat. But when you open it up, there's a badge there that says, God's agent of forgiveness. I'm extending forgiveness to the people in the world. God's forgiveness. Isn't it cool to see yourself that way? How do you see other people, you know? Do you see them with a spiritual heart? Or do you just see them as somebody you're competing against, you know? Like, if you see them with a spiritual heart, you're saying, my role towards you, my posture towards you is to bring God's forgiveness to you. Ooh. You ready for that in 2023? Can we be that kind of people in 2023? People that are agents of forgiveness? Okay. Being that kind of person starts on your knees when you're praying to God, when you're asking for his forgiveness, you're receiving his grace. Are you asking God to forgive you? Are you receiving his grace? Are you becoming a person who's God's agent of forgiveness in the world? So let's pray that this year in our families, in our church, in our town, that we'll be God's agents of forgiveness. And then the last prayer here in this second section, when we're asking God to meet our needs, it says, do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And Jesus isn't saying that God tempts us, but Jesus is saying that when we're tempted, because all of us face temptations, right? When we're tempted to sin, we should ask for God's help to resist the temptation. It's God's will that you and I live righteous lives before him. So a lot of temptations are going to come up. A lot of temptation. Let me make a prediction for 2023. In 2023, you will face temptations, okay? You will be tempted to be dishonest, to be selfish, to be unfaithful, to be harsh to people, to do something immoral, to abandon the commitments that God has called you to. You know what you're going to face, don't you? I mean, you don't know everything, but you can guess, okay? So we need to ask for God's help to resist the temptations. We need to ask for God's help to deliver us from the evil one. The spiritual warfare is real. The enemy is real. And he wants us to get off track with the Lord. He doesn't want us to stay on track with the Lord and be used by him to expand his kingdom. But thank God. Praise God, the one in us is greater than the one in the world. Amen? So we can learn to rely on him, to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to resist the evil one, to resist Satan when we're tempted to sin. Okay? And we learn this in our knees, on our knees, in prayer. So when you're praying, you can anticipate the temptations that you might face that could come up later today, the temptations that might come up tomorrow. And you can ask for God's help, and we probably need to ask him for his help for the ones we don't know are coming, because they might show up, and we don't know how we're going to deal with it, but we need God's strength to face them, okay? So let's be people of prayer this year, Calvary Chapel. Let's have a year. Let's let 2023 be a year that's shaped by prayer. And our prayers need to be shaped by this model prayer, this prayer that Jesus gave us to teach us how to pray. And let's let God answer our prayers. Let's see. I think when we pray like this, God loves it, and God wants to answer our prayers. So many of us are going to make New Year's resolutions. We've talked about that in the service today. You know, the typical resolutions, like Marty said, are to exercise more and to eat better and to save money and to stop looking at our phone so much and to take up a new hobby, to be a better friend, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to get more organized. You know, those are our typical resolutions, right? Today, why don't we make some spiritual resolutions for 2023. And here's our resolution, that 2023 would be a year of prayer. It would be a year shaped by the Lord's Prayer, the way the Lord taught us to pray here. So can you think, as you've heard this just meditation on the Lord's Prayer, can you make a resolution today that's informed by how Jesus taught us to pray? Can you make a resolution right now for this year that's shaped by how Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer? I'll give you some examples to think of some ideas here. Maybe the resolution that you're going to make is, I'm going to be somebody who prays regularly. You know, I got to say, there have been periods in my life where it's been hard to pray. And the Lord is calling us back to our knees and calling us back into that quiet place where we're communing with Him and just asking Him to work His will in the world and asking Him to meet our needs. He's calling us to know Him that way, to pray to Him, to be in that kind of relationship with Him where He's our Father and we're His children and we're just enjoying that relationship. So maybe that's your resolution, is just to be somebody who prays more, to pray more in 2023 than you did in 2022. Here's another one. Not just, maybe this is how your resolution. I'm not just going to pray about health concerns, but I'm going to seek God's will in my prayer. Because a lot of times, we get into a habit, and we get into a rut kind of in our prayer life that the one thing that we pray about is healings. Now, it's not wrong to pray for healings, right? You need to pray for healings. God is a healer, right? God wants to heal sometimes, okay? But this prayer shows us that there's more to pray about than just healings. You know, we need to pray for God's kingdom to grow in the world, right? And we need to pray that He would help us to be agents of forgiveness in the world and things like that, you know? So maybe that's your resolution, is you're going to expand the kinds of prayers that you pray this year to follow what Jesus has taught us, okay? Here's another one, that we would learn to depend on God for our daily needs like a child depends on her father. That's a good resolution, right? Some of us are so filled with anxieties and worries, and so we in 2023, can we just be people that each day rest in knowing that God is our Father and He's going to meet our daily needs? He's going to give us our daily bread. So that's another resolution that you can make. Here's another one. Not just to pray about my concerns as an individual, but to pray for the needs of the church as a spiritual community. Okay? Some of our prayer, if we had a tape recorder in our prayer closet, or if somebody read your prayer journal or read mine, I think a lot of times what they would see is the wrong pronouns. It would always be I, me, my. And can we shift just to pray we, us, our, you know? Can we shift to pray for God's church? Okay, how about this for a prayer? Another resolution that you might make today, that you would resolve to be an agent of God's forgiveness in the world and to learn how to be that in prayer. Okay, here's another one. That you'd learn more about relying on God to resist the temptations to sin. Because it's going to happen. It's going to come up. And we need to learn how to take up God's strength, to put on the armor and resist. Okay? It's going to happen. Can we learn how to do that? We learn how in prayer. Maybe there's something else. Maybe there's another resolution that you can make. So let's just take a minute right now. I'm going to let us have a minute to pray silently in your heart and make a New Year's resolution about your prayer life this year, okay? And then I'll lead us in prayer, and then we'll continue our worship. Let's pray.